You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Crown him the NBA's reigning MVP and the guy who should be crowned for a second consecutive year in this season. James Harden put up a 50-point triple-double, his ninth 50-point game of the season, his NBA leading fifth 50-point triple-double of his career, leading Houston to its 16th win in 19 games with a 119-108 triumph on Saturday afternoon against the Sacramento Kings. So to break it all down, welcome in to a new week and a new episode here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As stated off the top, the Rockets were indeed victorious in Saturday's game against the Kings. James Harden, clearly the leading storyline, 50 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds, plus 17 in his 38 minutes. Now, he was not alone. Clint Capella, his second consecutive really strong game, 24-15. Chris Paul, 22 points on 50% shooting, one of his most efficient games in a while. Eric Gordon, 17 points on 5 of 11 from 3. That finishes off a month in style that he shot 45%+ from behind the arc. And not coincidentally, the Rockets went 12-3 in March, winning 80% of those games. The bench, which was a strength in Thursday's win over the Nuggets, not so much tonight. Austin Rivers went from scoring 15 points to being plus 34 to not scoring at all. And the bench, House, Rivers, and Shumpert scored just 3 points between them. So it certainly wasn't all good. For the most part, though, a double-digit win against the Sacramento Kings team that, until the loss, had not been eliminated from the playoffs. They fall to 37-38. The Rockets improved to 49-28. Which sets a new high watermark at 21 games over 500. By and large, it's a quality win, even at home. Rockets did cover. They were favored by only 10 going in. So I think the good clearly outweighs the bad. However, over the next 20 to 30 minutes, we'll be breaking it all down, for better or for worse, on our usual 3 points recap. Here off the top, though, it is all about James Harden, because not only did he lead the team in scoring, 50 points, he also, following Clint Capella's 15, was second on the team in rebounds at 11. And so in a game where the Rockets were out-rebounded by 11, 49-38, and did not have either Kenneth Faried still out with a sore knee or Nene on his maintenance plan and were undersized, the Rockets needed someone to chip in and at least keep them afloat against a Kings team that, led by Marvin Bagley, 20-12, what a great rookie season he's had, Willie Cauley-Stein, Harrison Barnes. There's a lot of size and length on that front line. Even the guards, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, they're fairly springy. So on top of the scoring burden, James Harden did a lot of the rebounding as well. Whatever you need from him, that's what he does, and that should be what makes an MVP. And as we've come to expect, in the fourth quarter, even though the Rockets ended up winning this game by 11 points, this was not easy. They trailed by 5 in the final 10 seconds of the third quarter, and then in the middle of the fourth, James Harden checked back in at about the 6:50 mark, and in the first possession Sacramento had after that, they had a dunk that cut the lead to 1. So 101-100 with 6 minutes left, that was truly anyone's game. And then James Harden scored the next 10 points for the Rockets, got fouled on a 3, made all 3 of the free throws, had a couple of runners, and then had a 27-foot step-back 3 that effectively iced it, because the Rockets did their work on the defensive end of the floor as well during that stretch, holding Sacramento to just 4. That's another thing we'll discuss. Houston's defense in this game, well, hit or miss, the Kings did make a lot of threes, give them credit. There's a ton of young talent. They shot nearly 52% from behind the arc, which is tough to do no matter what the defense is. At the same time, when it mattered, Houston held them to just 15 points in the fourth quarter. And yes, James Harden had a lot to do with that, as he has all season long. In terms of how this really was won, though, of course, the first three quarters, when it felt like the Kings could not miss, Harden scoring nearly 30 in the first half is what kept the Rockets afloat, kept them within striking distance. And then, as we've come to expect from Harden and over the course of NBA history, as is the fair expectation, when it's winning time in the fourth quarter, when you have James Harden and the other team doesn't, that's when his presence becomes especially notable. So it's not like any of the points were empty calories. No, because when it was truly on the line, again, 10 straight Rockets points from James Harden. He then assisted to Clint Capela on the next one. So really 12 straight points from about the 6-minute mark until the 2-minute mark. And that's what the Rockets needed to blow a game that was at one point the margin 101 to 100 and then turned into what ended up being an 11-point win. So for James, it's just the continuation of an incredible season. Will it win MVP? We'll have to wait and see. I do like that he's finishing strong all the while. Giannis, he's going through an ankle injury, and also the Bucks almost locked into the one seed in the East, so they don't have a lot to play for. I could see this being a scenario just like Harden and Westbrook 2 years ago, in which because Harden had a little less to play for than Russ did that season, then combine that with Russ finishing extremely strong, Houston was basically locked into the 3 seed, Oklahoma City fighting to get into the playoffs and then get as high of a seed as they could. Fittingly, they ended up as the 6 and losing to James Harden's Rockets in the first round. But Westbrook had some incredible games, especially late in that stretch, including a 50-point triple-double. Well, guess what? That's what James Harden did on Saturday. And again, there was nothing empty about it because he delivered not just throughout the game, but when it mattered most down the stretch, again scoring 10 consecutive points in the fourth. So to have Harden have these types of games down the stretch when voters might be undecided and while Giannis isn't really playing or doing anything of particular note, yeah, I do think that could be impactful. The only argument against it in terms of the voting is whether Harden has been so good this year that he's somewhat desensitized the impact of these 50-point games, and in this case, a 50-point triple-double. I've seen that argument thrown out there, and I do think there could be validity to it. That said, what my hope is, if voters take their jobs as seriously as they should, and I think clearly with it being such a small voting pool, those that are lucky enough to vote should do that. Hopefully at some point between now and the end of the season, there's a point in which they step back and say, hey, I understand that I'm coming to expect this, but the fact that I am coming to expect it is so ridiculous in and of itself that I have no choice but to honor this season from James Harden, which down the line, whether he wins the MVP or not, 2019 will be the year of James Harden. This will be what we are talking about for a very, very long time. In terms of what happened specifically against the Kings, it's a bit of an odd triple-double in that he shot just 7 of 23 from behind the arc, 13 of 31 overall. So he was less efficient than he has been in some of his 50-point games, although he did get to the line 18 times and make 17. That helps. What I really like, though, just 3 turnovers. The Rockets only 9 as a team. I believe they had just 10 against Denver. So even though they've picked up the pace, the Kings in particular, there were stretches in this game where it was played at a breakneck pace. And yet for the Rockets to be able to do that with James Harden and Chris Paul and not turn the ball over, that takes a very laser-like focus. So on top of everything else that he's having to do in terms of the heavy lifting, the fact that he can do this while not making careless mistakes, that just takes an extra level. Perhaps the Rockets not playing again until Tuesday night, having 72 hours off, contributed to James and some other guys on the team being able to empty the tank because they will have a little bit of time to get back in the flow before they play again on the second night of this home-and-home with the Kings over basically a 4-day stretch, first Saturday in Houston, then the second game Tuesday in Sacramento. Whatever the case, though, it was a spectacular game and one that the Rockets needed because with the win, improving them to 49-28, they now tie the Portland Trailblazers in the loss column for the number 3 because the Blazers lost to the Detroit Pistons, even the Pistons without Blake Griffin on Saturday evening. Now, it was the second night of a road back-to-back for Portland, so perhaps the legs were a little tired. Even with that, though, against a Pistons squad without Blake, that's one that on paper you would expect Portland to be better than, especially with the form that they have been playing at of late. So my hope is that finally, they've been so hot of late, but without Jusuf Nurkić and without CJ McCollum for the foreseeable future, maybe this is the stretch to where Portland finally cools off a bit to where their post-Nurkić and McCollum talent level suggests they should be at. Because even though the Rockets and Blazers are now tied in the loss column with 28, Portland does have the tiebreaker in a two-team scenario. Now, if it's a three-team scenario, and that's entirely possible, the Jazz have a pretty weak schedule, they are only at 30 losses, then the Rockets would win a three-team scenario for the number three because they would be the only division winner in the tie, and that would trump any head-to-head concerns. The reason Portland wins the two-team scenario is because they won two of the three matchups, the only three between the Blazers and the Rockets this season. So again, with James Harden, as we close out segment one, it's not just the 50-point triple-double. That's rare enough in and of itself. But the fact that he delivers in the fourth quarter and the fact that he delivered when the Rockets really needed this game to get them back tied in the loss column for the number three seed in the West, I don't know how you can sum up MVP even better than that. He's valuable individually, but he's also valuable for the team as a whole in their success. And at this point, as I said leading off, crown him. And remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Rockets on the new Himalaya podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. As we continue our way through our 3 points recap, segment one was, of course, about the MVP, James Harden, a 50-point triple-double, 50, 11, and 10, had 10 consecutive points at one point in the fourth quarter to put the game away, plus 17 in a 119-108 win by the Rockets over the Kings. That puts the Rockets at 49-28, a season-best 21 games over 500, and coupled with Portland's loss in Detroit, finally puts them back into a tie in the loss column for the number three seed in the West, which could become crucial for being on the Denver side of the bracket rather than Golden State. And the Nuggets, of course, a team that the Rockets have matched up so well with this season, winning three of the four games, and many of those victories not even being close. So this game was very impactful for the Rockets from a standings perspective, and it came against a Sacramento Kings team that, with the loss, they fall to 37-38. They are officially eliminated from the playoffs, but it's a group that has a ton of young talent. Marvin Bagley, a guy who, if not for Luka and Trae Young, would be in the Rookie of the Year mix most years. De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein. The Kings have been bad for many years. They finally got a lot of young pieces together, and there's a reason why they have been so pesky this year. It took until really March 30th, this Saturday, to take them out of postseason contention, that less than 2 weeks until the end of the regular season. It's been a bounce-back year for those guys, and hopefully, maybe they're a bit deflated now that they have been eliminated from the playoffs, because the Rockets are going to have to play this same team again on Tuesday night in Sacramento, and as tough as they were in Houston, they could be even tougher at home. So I think you respect a lot of what the Kings showed you, and one thing that's important to note, this is not a one-off. Since the middle of February, now, they have lost most of these games, but look at the margins for the Kings. They lost on February 13th to Denver by two, scoring 118 in that one. They lost their very next game after the All-Star break at Golden State, 125-123. They then beat Oklahoma City, 119-116. The next week, they lost to Milwaukee, 141-140 in overtime. The week after that, they lost by two to the Celtics. The week after that, they went on the road, an East Coast road trip, lost by single digits at Boston and at Philadelphia. This is a Kings squad that has, while they haven't won most of those games, they have been extremely competitive and they have put up a ton of points. So I'm sure there are going to be some of you that look at the fact that this was a one-point game, as mentioned, with under 7 minutes to go before Harden went on his closing kick, and say, why were the Kings this close? The Rockets were favored by 10 in the game. If you actually look at the Kings' data closer, as I did leading up to this game, you'll see that even though their record, they've now fallen below 500, they have been extremely competitive, and they put up a ton of points. The raw numbers that we saw from those aforementioned young studs, Bagley with 20-12, De'Aaron Fox with 18-10-7, Buddy Hield with 21. Collectively, the team as a whole shooting better than 50%, 15 of 29 from behind the three-point arc. De'Aaron Fox made 4 of his 7. Those aren't flukes. They have done it for a while, and they have done it against really, really strong opponents. So I do think you need to give them some credit. This is not the Sacramento Kings of old. This is a promising young team, and it's not going to be easy for the Rockets to win there on Tuesday. Hopefully they're a bit demoralized after being officially eliminated from the playoffs. We'll have to wait and see. But the reason I play up these past performances by the Kings, and they are important, certainly for the Kings as a team and their continued development, but I bring up what they have done over the past couple of months to, first off, say that no, it's not the end of the world, that the Rockets were in a competitive game with the Kings, even at home, through the first 3.5 quarters. But beyond that, to show how excellent the defensive performance was down the stretch to limit Sacramento to just 15 points in the fourth quarter. And this is a Rockets defense that has been top five in the league since the All-Star break, when the Rockets are 16-4 and really 16-3 in their last 19 ball games. That's when the Rockets have gone from being a bottom five, bottom 10 defense to a top five, all against a schedule that has not been particularly easy. Now, just because they've done it for a 20-game stretch, am I willing to say going into the playoffs that the Rockets are the top five defense that they were this time a year ago? No. I do think there's a sample size to it, and while they could be, I need to see it for a longer period before I 100% buy in. That said, the case for optimism, it's not just that the Rockets have been going to get done defensively overall since the All-Star break. Their top five net rating, actually ahead yesterday on the defensive end than they are on offense, which is incredible considering what we've seen from them on the offensive end this season since the All-Star break. I'm not sure how it shakes out after yesterday's game, but they were actually a little bit better rating-wise on defense than offense. What I really like from Houston, and of course a lot of it goes back to health, they've been top 10 ever since Chris Paul came back in late January. That's helped out the transition defense, which was really leaky earlier in the year. Of course, Clint Capella, who had 24-15 yesterday. We know what he does against Nikola Jokic. Getting those guys back. PJ Tucker, his shot has been inconsistent, but his defense, his effort on that end is there each and every night. You've also got Daniel House Jr. and Iman Shumpert, 2 3-and-D types on the perimeter that have stabilized your wing defense. Rebounding, the Rockets were minus 11 on Saturday. That's something that's gotten a little bit better. Saturday it regressed, although not having Fareed still out with a sore knee and Nene not really having a backup center against a Kings team that's pretty big and definitely athletic. This was a tough matchup. I think we'll have to see a non-Sacramento opponent and or once Fareed and Nene are back. Fareed's expected to play in one half of the Tuesday-Wednesday back-to-back at Sacramento and then at the LA Clippers, Nene presumably the other. So hopefully that will help on the rebounding end. Overall, though, the Rockets, their defensive numbers have been a lot better since the All-Star break. It's been a huge part of this run in which they've now won 16 of their last 19 games. But what gives me the most hope of all that it's sustainable is the way that they have been able to reach deep down and get an even higher level when it really, really matters. Because what that suggests is that it is, at least to some degree, within their control. It's not all randomness. When you see games in which their defense, especially in winning time, hits that higher level, that's what has me optimistic. Then in the playoffs, when the lights are at their brightest, and of course there's more time off, there's more rest between games, that you will see the elite Rockets defense more often. Because this game, the Kings had 93 through the first three quarters, and then just 15 in the fourth. The Rockets, they dialed it up, and the Kings could not match their level of intensity. And that's not a one-off. You go back, really, since the end of February. Here's some highlights. I wrote these down. The Spurs game. The Rockets went on that 13-2 run in the final 4 minutes. We remember it largely for what James Harden did, scoring those 13 points. But what shouldn't be forgotten is, from the 4-minute mark until the 32nd mark, the Rockets allowed the Spurs just 2 points. P.J. Tucker, his defense on DeRozan was great. Capella had the big block. But that Spurs game, nope, that's not a one-off. The Nuggets game, they got off to a 7-point lead on Thursday, just 10 minutes in, and then they scored just 40 points combined in the second and third quarters as the Rockets took control of that game. Nuggets scored 25 in the first, just 60 in the final three quarters combined. The Suns game a couple of weeks back when they were losing, that was the Daniel House Jr. return game, which he had the three and the chase down block in the final minute. They were giving Houston fits, and then the Rockets limited them to just 17 points in the fourth quarter. One of the only losses the Rockets suffered in March was the 2-point defeat, the Boogie Cousins game against the hated Warriors at home, 106-104. The only reason Houston was even close in a game that they couldn't really throw it in the ocean from three is because they limited Golden State. Yes, a very focused Golden State team that Steph Curry said going in that it was a statement game for them. The Warriors scored just 21 points. The Warriors in the fourth quarter of that game. The Mavs game a few nights before that, in which Chris Paul won it with a walk-off block against Brunson. The Mavs scored just 39 in the second half. And then the final game of February, Miami scored just 20 in the fourth quarter. Houston outscored them 35-20. That was a game against the Heat in which the Rockets overcame a 21-point deficit in the second half. So that's plenty of evidence that seven different games I've been through all within the past month that the Rockets not only have overall had a satisfactory defensive level of performance, but over the fourth quarter, or at least a significant chunk of it, they reached a level that would be below an 85 points per game pace. 84 was actually the highest in there, the 21 they gave up in the fourth to the Warriors, and that would equate to 84 points per game, and that's the Warriors. In many cases, it was even better than that. So I don't care who you play, to limit opponents to that level in today's NBA is really, really strong. And the fact that so many of these games for the Rockets, it's the regular season, there's mileage issues, there's back-to-backs, there's all sorts of random circumstances. You're not going to be able to bring peak effort every single night. But the fact that, number one, the overall defensive performance has certainly gotten better. Again, since the All-Star break, they've been a top-five defense from a net rating perspective. But secondly, beyond just the overall numbers, the fact that when you look inside the overall numbers and you see that the best performances typically come in winning time, that's what really encourages me because it tells me that a lot of this is within the Rockets' control. Now, they have to go out and do it. This is a relatively small sample size. I fully acknowledge that. But the fact that they continue to do this in the key moments, that's what gives me hope that when we get to the playoffs, the lights are at their brightest, there's more time off in between games, and assuming health, knock on wood, this Rockets team has the potential to be good defensively. Because yet again, on Saturday, even against a Kings team that has a lot of young talent, and they were game, they had not been eliminated from the playoffs, and they were playing like their lives depended on it. The Rockets, after they scored 93 in the first three quarters and shot better than 50% from three for the game, when it was winning time, the Rockets locked them up. And that's a theme that we have been seeing for a while. So kudos to the players. Kudos to certainly the staff, Mike D'Antoni, Jeff Bezdelic, for implementing the right schemes. And if you want optimism, I think this is it. We know what James Harden and Chris Paul can do. We know why this offense gets all the credit. The question is, can the Rockets go to at least be a middle-of-the-pack defense? Well, in this stretch where they've won 16 of 19, they have been better than middle-of-the-pack. They've actually been good on the defensive end. And then when you combine that with what James Harden, Chris Paul, and the rest of the Rockets do on the offensive end, yeah, that's how you win 16 of 19 ballgames and go from just fighting to get in the playoffs and hopefully getting home court in the first round to now being in a tie for the number three spot with number two, Denver, not out of reach either. Some final thoughts as we close out Sunday's episode, recapping the 119-108 win the Rockets posted over the Kings on Saturday night. It improves the Rockets to 49-28, a new high water mark of 21 games over 500. It drops the Kings to 37-38, and out of the playoff picture, they are officially eliminated. We spent segment one discussing James Harden, who led the way, 50-point triple-double. Segment two discussing the defense. Houston turned it up when it mattered, limiting the Kings to just 15 fourth-quarter points after scoring 93 over the first three frames. Here in segment three, let's discuss the non-Harden individuals, predominantly Clint Capella, but we'll also throw some shout-outs to other guys who I thought showed some encouraging signs. First off, Eric Gordon, 17 points, 5 of 11 from three. Over this month, he played in 14 of the 15 Rockets games and shot over 45% from three on the month. Not coincidentally, in those 14 games, the Rockets went 12-2. That's a better than 800 winning clip. So if the Rockets get this version of Eric Gordon, it's pretty simple. That's what takes them from good to great. He is the variable. Beyond Eric Gordon in Saturday's game, though, Chris Paul, 22 points, 8 of 16 from the field, 3 of 8 from three. This was a sneaky important game because the last 14 heading into this one, going back to late February, Chris Paul had been shooting below 38% from the field and below 31% from three. It's largely fallen under the radar because the Rockets have been, first and foremost, winning these games. And secondly, Chris Paul has had a couple of individual games in which he's been great. the Warriors game, the Timberwolves. So he's had a couple of games in there where he's been really good. And by and large, the Rockets have still been winning. The defense has been a lot better, which Chris Paul has had a big role in. So we've kind of overlooked the fact that he hasn't been shooting the ball that well, especially when they're still winning the games anyway. He still looks healthy because of what he's doing on the defensive end of the floor, the minutes that he's logging. There's not like there's a huge red flag that makes you think that anything is injury-related. That said, at some point by the playoffs, you do want to see him start to get confidence in his jumper again. Because for the Rockets to beat upper echelon teams in a seven-game series, you're going to need Chris Paul to go out there and make plays. So for a guy that's been shooting, again, below 38% from the field and below 31% from three in his last 14 games entering Saturday, to see him score 22 on 50% shooting and nearly 40% from behind the arc, to me, that's a really encouraging sign. Less encouraging, the bench scored just 3 points combined. Again, you didn't have Fareed and Nene. Fareed still out with a sore knee. Nene on his maintenance plan. So you had House, Rivers, and Shumpert. Rivers was such a big deal in Thursday's win over the Nuggets, 15 points plus 34. House had really big games in Milwaukee and in New Orleans on the last mini road trip. Tonight, House made just one of his three three-pointers. Rivers and Shumpert did not score. And again, the bench as a whole, just 3 points. The defense was okay. Offensively, though, they need to be better. The good news is that I'm inclined to say it's a one-off because, again, Rivers was great on Thursday. House played extremely well the games before that. And they will have more depth overall with Fareed and Nene due back for this back-to-back. One will play on one side, the other on the second night. And then they're also going to get Cherrill Green back relatively soon. He's out 7 to 10 days with an adductor strain, but he's already missed more than half of that, at least going by the clock. So there are reinforcements on the way, and there are also some signs this week that House, Rivers, and Shumpert are better than what they showed you on Saturday. I think it's just a one-off, and thank James Harden, he of the 50-point triple-double, that the Rockets got the victory anyway. The guy who, in my opinion, after James Harden, was clearly the most encouraging, though, was Clint Capela, 24-15, his 15 boards in 42 minutes, by the way. Imagine him being able to stay on the floor that long. This is a player who, until this year, had not even averaged 30 minutes per game, staying out there 42 minutes, in part because the Rockets didn't have a backup center, Fareed and Nene going through different injuries or rest programs, as discussed. And with the Kings having Marvin Bagley inside, the Rockets, without Capela, they would have been lost. They were minus 11 on the glass anyway. And then if you didn't have Capela, who had 15 out there, also was a plus 21 in those 42 minutes, made 10 of 13 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. The Rockets needed any size that they could find, and for Capela not just to be able to put up those numbers and resistance, rim protection, but to stay out there for 42 minutes and out of foul trouble, only committed 2 fouls in those 22 minutes, it shows a ton of discipline against a young team that's athletic as the Kings are and attacks the rim. That's a pretty unique skill set in a big to be able to play that many minutes and stay out of foul trouble, not get lazy with your hands or your body positioning. So it's a really quality game from Clint Capela. It builds off what he did 17-15 against Nikola Jokic on Thursday. And it's fantastic to see him rounding into form because if you've listened to this show over March, it's been a great month for the Rockets overall. But the one guy we've picked on has been Clint Capela. There have been too many games where either from a fitness standpoint, getting banged on the low block, or just out of sync, he has not looked like the same guy since the thumb surgery. This is by far the best two-game stretch, in my opinion, that he has had since then. This is what we saw of Clint Capela before the injury in late December, early January, when he was legitimately playing at an all-star level. Now, I know the season numbers are still there. He's 17-13, those types of numbers, shooting above 60% from the field. The free throw shooting has gotten better. All of that is valid. But the season, you have lots of peaks and valleys over 82 games. And by and large, even though the raw numbers have been there, March has been somewhat of a valley for Clint. So to start him ascending again, heading into April, now the Rockets just 5 games left in the regular season, it's a really good time to start building up his confidence. And it's also nice to see him take advantage of a matchup that should be favorable to him. We talked about with Jokic, what's so unique about Capela as he tries to guard Nikola is that most bigs Jokic can take advantage of in one of two ways. If they're traditional, they can bang with him in the post, then they're not able to play in space with Jokic able to hit mid-range shots all the way out to behind the three-point arc and also pass extremely well. Well, Capela is the rare breed of big that is athletic enough to do those things while also still bulky enough and tough enough on the low block not to get abused if he wants to go the traditional route. With Sacramento and Marvin Bagley, it's a bit of a different story in that a lot of the more traditional bigs, they can just run around. They are just simply springier and more athletic, and they can beat them up and down the floor. Capella, that's another area that he just crushed Jokic on Thursday in transition, just beating him up and down the floor. It tired him out. And that's something that when you have the types of bigs, Marvin Bagley, Willie Cauley-Stein, those types, they like, if there's someone that's tough enough to bang with them and shoot 10 of 13 as Clint did at the rim, then it usually means that they don't have the stamina to get up and down the floor in transition and compete athletically. Well, the thing is, Capella is athletic enough to hang with them from a quick twitch variety, but he's also physical enough to finish at the rim. It is very rare to have that combination of guys that can match up from both a power and an athleticism standpoint. And against a Kings team that they have a lot of quickness, they play at a rapid pace, to have a big in Capella that can match that pace, run up and down the floor, play 42 minutes, and yet still have the toughness that those young bigs, they're still in the weight room, they're not quite as developed and chiseled physically as Clint, so he's able to kind of get shots at the rim that they can't prevent. To have Clint able to match them on both levels, that is pretty rare. I don't think they see that often, and so even though it's a Kings team that has a lot of young talent, with Clint Capella you have both the talent and the seasoning, and it's really encouraging to see him get 24 and 15 to play 42 minutes. All of that is great. As far as this game, the Rockets needed it because they were minus 11 on the glass. In terms of the season as a whole, though, it's really encouraging because for this month of March, the only two guys that I was worried a little bit about, we mentioned Chris Paul, his low shooting percentages, and now Clint Capella, where the numbers have been okay, but it's been more just watching the one-on-one matchups. Well, to see heading into April, the month that the playoffs begin, most likely 2 weeks from today, or also could be 2 weeks from yesterday, it'll be the middle weekend of the month, the Saturday and Sunday when the playoffs begin, to see the two guys who over the course of March have not been as consistently strong as most of your team, Chris Paul and Clint Capella, get going for a Rockets team that's already overall playing fantastic ball, winning 16 of 19, now back tied for the number 3 seed in the West and with an easier closing schedule than the Blazers, much easier than the Nuggets, so who knows, maybe even the number 2 is still in play. But on top of all of that, to see Chris Paul and Clint Capella get going on Saturday heading into April and have performances to feel good about as they go down the home stretch of the season, to me, that's the cherry on top of the sundae. So with that, I will break it on this Sunday and go out and enjoy the rest of my day. Hopefully you all are able to as well. Got a couple of days to recharge our batteries before getting back to business when the Rockets take on this same Kings team on the second night of the home and home, night 2 on Tuesday evening, a late start because it's on the West Coast out in Sacramento, California. So for now, this is where we wrap up. If you want more coverage before our next episode, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show us on there at Locked On Rockets. We've also beyond that got a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways that you can access prior content. You can ask me questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being. Please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. As always, thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And when you get in your car, you can just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets. Once again, the happy final from Toyota Center on Saturday evening. Rockets 119, Kings 108. James Harden, the MVP, a 50-point triple-double, the 5th of his career, the 9th 50-point game of his season, what should be his second consecutive MVP season. Clint Capella, 24 and 15, and for Houston as a team, 49 and 28. It's their 16th win in the last 19 games, and at 21 games over 500, it ties their high watermark on the year, and coupled with Portland's loss in Detroit, it puts them back in a tie in the loss column for the number 3 seed in the West. How sweet it is. So on that note, go out and enjoy your week, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.